There it is. Adelaide win three in a row.
Hit 107 and the Adelaide Crows present...
Ozzy Adley!
The Podscast.
Jenkins, a boy! March turns, runs, and he kicks it.
Now, welcome to the Podscast. It's a Crows podcast hosted by myself, Amos Gill, the 19th man who was asked to host this. Mark Rusciuto was opening a pub and could not do it, has a lot of things on. But I'm hosting with Josh Jenkins, who got a contract so big last year, they said, we need you to do as many things as possible to make up the value. So they've roped him into hosting this. He's done a great job with some Fox footy stuff with the NBL, just expanding into hosting podcasts now. G'day, JJ.
Yes, thank you. Jack of all trades and definitely a master of none, but looking forward to the year. It's going to be plenty of fun. I've had a little dabble into podcasting with very limited success with teammate Tommy Lynch, but looking forward to one that's actually a little bit professional.
Well, mildly professional, I have to say. Let's actually quickly get into that. So you have done a podcast before. You and Lynchy just what, out of the bedroom or something?
Out of my front lounge room, actually. Just held the iPhone on the table and recorded into that. So, far, as I said, far from professional.
Here's a step up then, for sure.
We had about 200 listeners a week, so we were pretty happy with that, talking all things NFL. But as I said, looking forward to talking a bit of footy and having a bit of fun along the way.
Well, that's it. We hope this podcast goes out to all of our fans. We've got 68,000 members, by the way. So a thank you to absolutely everyone who signed up. Let's hope you're going to the game right now. That's when it's released on game day.
Yes.
We hope that this gives you some information, maybe a lighter side of Crow's life. It is called The Podscast. Had to come up with a name and just thought Pods Yadley, The Pods, the greatest probably recruit we've ever had. And guess what? The Pods himself is in the room with us right now. Welcome, James Podziadli.
No Rosso. Pressure. thanks, Rosso. Joshy. I'll just correct you, mate. You're not doing a podcast anymore. This is a podcast.
This is the podcast.
Apologies.
When I went and got the pod, I said, are you ready, mate? You excited? He goes, I don't know what this is. just being sort of roped in here now. What are you doing now, Pod?
Mate, just quickly, this is a career highlight, let's be honest. I can walk away from the game right now knowing that I've got a podcast. Mate, this is done.
And well, you are a very business-centric man, so I hope you've got some naming rights. Marketing royalties.
I've got that sort of, Josh, as you know, mate. I got some advice at the end of the last year from you, mate. You know how to negotiate a good contract.
Pods, what are you doing right now? You are the defensive line coach for us.
Yeah, the backs coach. So, the pre-season so far has been pretty busy, but really enjoyed working with the likes of Talia Hardigan, Lever, Smith and Led over the summer, the last 18 months too.
And how is it, the transition from, I mean, it's with you because you went coach, player, yeah, coach again.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's a long story, Russell. We'll get into that maybe in another podcast. But the transition was pretty easy, and it was easy because we've got a great bunch of guys to work with as coaches at the footy club. And I think we've got a really strong and really high-performing culture, which is what I want to be a part of.
Well, we should talk briefly about the off-season. I know a lot of people who are listening to this have definitely followed along. Seen it was all good, no real dilemmas other than Rory having that minor cheek.
What happened there, Josh? Actually,
what happened?
This is what happens when I go try and tackle. I've told the coaches I'm not a tackler, and I tried to tackle him at training, poked him in the eye, caused my finger all sorts of damage as well, which hasn't been made public. It's all been.
Wouldn't have thought the finger was the big concern.
Trust me, it's concerning. But yeah, apart from that, we've had a pretty smooth. You know, we've got a few injury niggles and that, but that's because we train hard and we want to get better. So. We're in a pretty good spot moving forward.
Touch wood,
to be honest. Also, like the other 17 clubs, we've had the best preseason ever.
Yeah,
everyone's as fit as they've
ever been. Hardest ever, too. The hardest ever.
Yeah.
Has anyone ever been honest coming into a year saying we're on the skids here? We are coming in rotten.
We've had no idea what we're doing. We've just guessed our way through the preseason, and we're here. No.
So let's talk about the big game on the weekend. GWS. I think I'm just looking through the paper here. Just about everyone has them winning it, or up there in at least the top two. Do you guys see this as a great way to kick off the year, given that if you beat them, you'd think confidence would be sky high, right?
Yeah, I think a lot of people have talked about them externally, about premiership favourites, the talent they've got on their list and whatnot. I mean, we played them in a game here last year, and it was a fantastic game. So we highly respect them, obviously, their talent, and actually they're coached really well too. So they play a solid brand of football. But it's the perfect time for us to hit him, because we believe that, as I said before, mate, our preseason is as good as anyone else's, and that we're in great shape to take him on.
How do you feel about them? Just in general, just the football club GWS. What's your history like with them?
Oh, indifferent. They they used to be, you know, high draft picks, young guys, plenty of talent. They used to talk a lot, but we, you know, we used to smack them because they were kids, and now they're good. And they're still talking. It's not as easy to come back. You know, you used to just point at the scoreboard. We're up by 20 goals, but, you know, now they're a quality side. So,
like the little brother that's been picked on for a long period of time.
That's exactly what they are. So they're going to provide us with a great challenge. And I did write about it during the week for my ASPN column that I write that perhaps, a real media operator
at the moment.
I'm telling you, he knows how to negotiate a contract.
Perhaps we should have been opening the season on Thursday night, but you know, our game on paper suggests that it's going to be a cracker, and hopefully things go our way.
Well, let's look at the team. We'll start in your area, the backs. Yeah. Anyone you'd particularly like to talk about? We're not going to name everyone because you can look at a map.
Yeah, no, there's probably a couple of good stories for our fans to watch out for on game day, and that's Andy Otten, who hasn't played an AFL game since, I think it's round 18, maybe 2014. So it's been 2.5 years. Had a knee reco and had a few complications off the back of that, and last year spent the majority of the year in the SNFL. So for us, he's almost like a mature age recruit we haven't had for a number of years. And I know Josh plays on him a fair bit at training during the preseason, and our forwards really rate him the way he defends and that. So he's thoroughly deserved.
With a bloke like that, JJ, who is having a huge trouble with injuries and getting back into the team, surely at times the head would drop for them. And how do you guys treat someone like that? You're really trying to keep them positive?
Certainly. It's also, you've got to be cautious not to, you know, overbear them with, you don't want 35 people coming up to you and wanting to have a coffee and see how things are and talk about how tough it all is. So Andy's he's really mature. He's quite smart. We've always known, you know, he's one of those guys who probably plays better footy at the AFL level than SNFL level. See, at no stage, you know, last year he got really close to playing games, and at no stage, you know, did you think if you had to bring him in, there'd be an issue? You know, he plays better the higher the level. So it's great to, you know, I played in that game in Brisbane when he did his knee, and it seems like so, you know, so long ago. So I know he's got plenty of friends, family coming over. So it's going to be great for him to get back out there and play some AFL footy.
Jake Kelly as well. He's playing his first game since 2015. I mean, he's a guy that came off a rookie list. He's now on our senior list, and he's a guy, and Josh would be back me up on this. He's probably our hardest work at the football club, diligent, sees the coaches consistently about how to improve his game. And for our fans to see a guy like that get rewarded with a round one debut, or not a debut, but you know, round one game, is testament to him.
You are in charge of them. You told me you have an hour meeting with some of the players. Is that right?
I don't have an hour meeting.
You don't?
No. As a match committee, we meet for a couple hours, and there's sometimes an hour is spent on one particular player to work out whether he's can play, can fit in our
system.
So you're
not throwing magnets at the board, as some people would think.
I'd like to throw a few darts sometimes, but it's probably not at the board.
it's heated in there, though, I reckon.
Yeah, it gets heated. We got the aircon on.
There would be coaches who fight for some players, and then other coaches who go, we're going in this direction.
I think we are pretty measured. I mean, the way the AFL is played these days, there's a lot of data and analysis that goes on. So when you actually present a case for a player to play, I mean, we get the fitness guys, the doc, the physios to come in and sort of say, this guy's cherry ripe, he's not cherry ripe. Then you've got all the statistics and what he's played last time he played GWS or whatever as well.
All right, well, let's go to the midfield. Kirtley Hampton, once CEY went down, I think a lot of Crows fans were thinking, God, what's going to happen? The midfield feels slim. Kirtley was fantastic in the JLT.
From a coaching perspective and a recruiting perspective, we drafted him as a running back last year, and he worked with our backs for a fair bit, but there was something that we saw in him that could definitely see you could actually make an impact in the midfield. But what we had to do is wait for a pre-season so he can actually work on his engine and his aerobic capacity so he can do that at AFL level. So we played him off halfback last year with a little bit of stints in the midfield in the SNFL. And credit to him, his off-season away from the football club, he came back in fantastic shape, ran a great 2K time trial, which is not the be-all and end-all, but it's a pretty sure sign for a midfielder. You've got to be able to run all day.
Who else threw there? Because we were saying before that if there was some fans who were worried about anything, it seems like we've got a pretty watertight defence and we've got great forwards, probably, you know, obviously the best in the comp, most people would say. The midfield, everyone went, maybe we missed out on Gibbs. Do we need another midfielder? And you think there are some people willing to step up this season?
I think Pikey's on record for saying this, but at the end of last year, we as a coaching group got together and thought that one of the things we've got to work on over the summer and next year is versatility. So what we've done over the preseason is expose guys to different roles. So, you know, for example, Josh Jenkins last year can play forward, but ruck. we need guys that can play a bit half back, a bit mid, a bit forward. So that's what we've gone away
Charlie,
and done.
Charlie Cameron?
Charlie Cameron can definitely play mid. Rory Laird's going to throw himself in the midfield. Douglas, you see him back.
How do you feel rucking, JJ? Do you like spending more of your time down forward, or do you not mind getting in the ruck?
Oh, it depends what's happening. If the ball's coming in thick and fast...
You're one out, aren't you?
I don't want to hear anything about the ruck. Sauce can stay out there the whole game. But
send Eddie up.
Lord Lynchy. Lynchy rates himself as a ruckman. He couldn't jump over my iPhone, but he thinks he can. Goes all right in there. But, you know, in the same sense, on a serious note, if you know, the game's tight and congested and there's not a lot of forward 50 entries, it is good. It gives me an ability to get involved in the game. And, you know, you just get one handball or one tackle or just get a feel on the ball, hit out even, and you can, it just changes your whole body language and the way you feel about the game. So it's a good, it's something that's taken me a while to embrace and really, well, not master, but get a good hold on. But I feel like it's a string that to my bow and it keeps me in the side.
Looking at the forward line, and this is your department here, look at these names, Eddie Betts, Charlie Cameron, Josh Jenkins, Mitch McGovern, Tom Lynch, Taylor Walker. Has there ever been a better forward line?
Never.
Mod's just tweeting us here, he's furious.
The beauty for our defenders, mate, is we play against these guys, or these guys play against each other all pre-season. So I rate our forward line as probably the best in the comp, and I reckon the second best is GWS. So for our guys have been trained against the Walkers, the Jenkins, the Betzers all summer, and now they get to deal with the Pattons, the Camerons, the Greens of the world. So it's been perfect for us.
Anyone that we've missed in terms of potentially first game back or anything like that?
I think you want to talk about Troy Menz a little bit, JJ?
Certainly. You know, came across here with some, I guess because we've seen the talent and, you know, he's got some siblings in the AFL who play really well. So get him over here last year. Many expected him just to walk in the side and play really good footy, but I think that's a tribute to how strong the club is. He didn't walk straight in the side. He, you know, had to go away and work on some things, and credit to him, he really did. And you know,
because fans would have been going, "What have we got here?"
Exactly. Yeah, I used to cop that a lot. Where, you know, where's Menzel, and it's understandable because of the talent. But you know, as you just mentioned, we've got a pretty good forward line, so it's been tough for him to get a game. But you know, to see, you know, players really. I'm not sure why players really put everything into playing in round one. It's no more important than playing in round two. But just to get that, I guess everyone gets an opportunity to get a game in round one. And for him to be in that best 22, it's a credit to him. The same as, you know, Hampton, Otten and Kelly. So it's exciting. Round one's probably the, apart from finals footy, it's the most exciting time of the year.
It's pretty hot early.
Can I just quickly, I just might mention a GWS first timer, Tim Taranto. Have you heard of Tim?
Yeah, we have. I've done a bit of research on him. Well, quite talented.
This is the moment GWS actually filmed him calling his dad to let him know that he's going to be playing.
I just got some news. I'm playing this weekend. They're actually filming me right now while I'm talking to you.
Get this on camera. As much as I love watching the games on TV and on the computer, I look forward to watching this one live and in person.
Are you actually coming?
I am.
Wow, you're far out. That's awesome. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I'm actually shaking.
We're both coming out just for the weekend.
That's so touching. Let's belt him and get the dad nice 29 hours worried about him. How about that?
I'm not going to belt him because I love America. And if there's any way I can find a link to some hookups in America, I'm not going to belt him. So I might be able to go and stay with that family one stage. So I'll leave
it'd be
up
nice
to...
if there's a long flight home. If not belted, oh, but
I'll tell you what I want to see,
drilled.
Though, is him flying home and seeing his son get zero stats. Yes. So I'm thinking Brody Smith, Rory Laird, when he plays up forward, just to absolutely quell him and
here's what I'll
really
do,
remember
Pods.
Your first debut.
I'll write it on the record and cut it out and send it to the dad. Go, I'll stick it in the in-flight magazine and say, here's some light reading material for you on the way back.
No, I like it.
So you do love America. This is the thing about you.
Yeah,
people should know this about you. What is it about the States? Because that's my favourite country.
Pretty much just a sport. You know, the NFL, NBA, college sports, it's March Madness right now. The college basketball tournament is just incredible. There's always teams that, you know, they're unranked, they're considered no good, and they just continue to beat the powerhouse schools in America. So, you know, Pods is a big NFL fan.
Absolutely.
As well.
Absolutely, Seahawks fan.
Now, do you think that the AFL does it as well as they do there, or have we got a bit to go?
Oh, we've got aspects in terms of on field. We've got our sports scientists far and above better than theirs, and they fully admit that. That's why there's so many Australians in really high positions within big organisations in America. But they certainly, they're billion-dollar industry, so you know, they do things that we can pick up on, and as I said, we do some things pretty well ourselves.
The Oval's probably the best, though, isn't it? I mean, the Adelaide Oval, you don't get much.
Well, I think
better.
One thing that we have that potentially they don't have is the long tradition. I mean, their sport has been around for a long time, and there's some great traditions within it. But our sport.
Are you saying that GWS doesn't have a history?
What's that?
Are you saying that the Greater Western Sydney don't have a rich tradition?
No, they do, mate.
Let's talk milestones. The big one, obviously, Charlie Cameron, 50 games. Well done to Charlie. It's been 50 of my favourite games. I absolutely love him. But this man here, Sauce, 150. I'll hand you over to the boys. G'day, Sauce.
Hello, boys. How you going?
Going well, Sam. Nice of you to drag yourself away from the your lawn for an hour or for 10 minutes and have a chat to us.
I am just sitting outside on your back porch, just overlooking it, actually.
I suspected as much. But, mate, firstly, 150 games, it's, you know, I'm not there yet. So you must be pretty proud. You went over to Carlton and started your career, but you're back in your home state. I know how parochial you are, South Australian. So you must be pretty proud to notch up 150 for the Crows.
Yeah, I am. I guess, you know, in footy, you don't generally get too much time to reflect, you know, at any stage, probably until your career is over. But I guess one thing you can do during a milestone week is, you know, they bring out the old footage and all that sort of stuff. And, you know, it's a bit humbling. You know, all the messages you get from people who you've been involved with along the story. So it is great to get there, and I'm looking forward to getting into it and hopefully getting a win on the milestone game.
Now, Sammy Pods here, mate. On the video, can you just explain us for the song choice?
Well, generally people go for the pump up songs with a bit of a strong beat or something like that. But I decided to go something that probably replicated me, and I decided to go 500 Miles by the Proclaimers.
Mate, you've never met a more country. I was going to swear then, a country style human, Sam Jacobs. He's always out. I was doing having a bit of a think about Sauce last night. He loves a country clinic. I know he gets a pretty good earn out of it, but he loves heading out to the country and doing clinics. He loves going home to Ardrossan, and I think that's the good thing about you, Sam. You know, you've lived in Melbourne, you lived in Adelaide, but you love getting back to the country. You love country footy. You love country cricket. It's just a part of you, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, one of the best things to happen to me was getting drafted to Carlton. You know, like you said, I'm a real, you know, not such a homebody, but I love being around friends and family and the places I grew up. But it was great for me to go to Melbourne and spend 4 years over there. As you know, makes you go over there and meet new people, and which is really great for me. So, you know, I'm really thankful that Carlton gave me the opportunity first up, but always had the intention of wanting to come back home and play in front of friends and family and represent the Crows ideally. And you know, I couldn't have scripted it any better at the moment. Things are going really well, and just a little bit more team success, and you know, I'll be pretty content when things are finished.
Now, Sammy, just away from footy, mate, we know that internally at the club, we know that you bought two blocks of land down in Glenelg there and bought a house over the top of all of them. But
negative mate, gearing action.
Josh mentioned the lawn, mate, and I know you've got two dogs. How do you go about maintain that lawn when you've got two dogs, mate?
Yeah, I have been asked a few times about this one, but it's not my proudest moment. But what I've built, like because obviously I started the house from scratch, so I could design it how I wanted. I've allowed the dogs a courtyard and, you know, a side concrete sort of area. So unfortunately, when I'm not home, the boys aren't allowed on the lawn unless I'm here supervising.
So there's no burn patches, is that what you're saying?
Nah, not at the moment, which is really good.
It's a bit of a in thing at the moment, Sauce, isn't it? You've had your dog for a little while. All the boys are going out, and I know as much as I begged Rory Atkins to not spend a small fortune on his dog, he went out and did so anyway. But a lot of the boys have gone out and purchased dogs, haven't they?
Yeah, well, yeah, like you said, you've got one, Pods has got two. And I think as footy players, you enjoy those, you know, you enjoy getting out of the house a bit. And I think dogs is such a good escape. You know, you can take them for a walk, you know, whenever you want to get active and do a bit of recovery or whatever. And even when you come home, the best thing I love is that the dogs don't know the scoreboard. It sounds like a bit of a kid thing, I guess. But I come home and if I've had a bad game, the dogs still want to, you know, get around me, and they still want their food or whatever when I get home.
It's a bad game if the dog just walks past you and goes, Cruiser just touched you up, mate. Just lays a juice inside the house and goes, mate, lift. Seriously.
Yeah, that wouldn't be the best.
How about less dogs from you boys and start having some kids so we can have some father sons? You can't draft a dog. I mean, come on.
Couldn't be far now, away, Sam.
Now, Sammy, last question before you go, mate. Most of the people listening to the podcast now are probably driving to the game or on a tram to the game. Now, the battle between you and Shane Mumford. Obviously, you've played a lot of games together. Yep. So, what can our fans look for on Sunday?
Oh, yeah, I do love playing against Mummy. It's always good fun. We have a bit of banter out in the field as well. He's a pretty relaxed guy, Big Mummy, which we all really enjoy that part. But I think the challenge is going to be, for me, matching him around the contest. His follow-up's really strong. You know, he loves, you know, hitting anyone, let alone just mid. So it's a challenge to really, compete with him inside. And hopefully when we win the ball, I can sort of get him on the outside, whereas I guess that's where more my strengths lay. But first of all, it's important to compete well in the ruck, give our mids, you know, at least an opportunity to compete at ground level and go from there. But it's a game I always look forward to, and I'm looking forward to this one especially.
Just remember, Sammy, if I kick a couple early, do not go to the bench because I'm not coming up into the ruck. If I can sip out a bag, yeah, ask Lynchy or someone else because I'm not coming up.
The tables have certainly turned in our careers. When you first came to the team, it was more about me. Now it's all about you. I'm happy to take a back seat, mate.
Well, thanks very much for joining us, Sam, and have a great 150th.
Now I'm pumped up.
Listen to this one before you go out.
I'll be sitting here on the phone, boys. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Sammy. 150 games. Do you chair him off at 150, or is that not worth it?
No, I don't think you do you?
If you're over 100, I don't think.
I think 200 is the minimum.
I meant 100 kilos.
Might be three blokes.
Yeah. He's been a great stalwart. You know, to get him back to Adelaide, I know the club would have been really keen to get him back. And he's just so reliable. He's been among the best two. He should be a two-time All-Australian. But just to have someone that you know every single week, he's going to win his position, you know, in probably the last true aspect of the game where it's 1v1, the ruck against the ruck. And you know that for the last, you know, he's a club record holder for hitouts, and he's had the most disposals for a ruckman since 2011. So he's just been so consistent, and congratulations to him.
Now, something I've got down on the sheet here is superstitions. It seems that a lot of fans have asked, what do the players have pre-game? Any rituals they keep? Any strange superstitions? Maybe pods that you've ever played against in your whole career? Maybe some Cats players even, JJ, basketballers, other footballers?
People are enamoured with superstitions, aren't they? Like, outside of a footy club, people, or outside of professional sport, people always want to know, what are your superstitions? And there aren't that many.
I'll put my hand up. Yeah, you got one?
I'll put my hand up. I've developed one. I've got no idea how or why, but I buy a new pair of jocks for every game now.
You wear jocks, not skins.
Now we're talking.
Yeah.
right.
That's the reason why you asked for the big contract, too.
If a pair of Bonds jocks aren't cheap these days. So
we could have saved a huge amount of money.
If Bonds are interested in coming on a part of the podcast. Yeah. But I buy a new pair. I must have had a new pair of jocks one game and played well and thought, well, I'm going to do that again.
Were you talking Y fronts, multicolour? Tidy whities, just
NFL
your brief
ones?
Just Aussie, good old Aussie Bonds, navy blue.
But are we talking like, because we're doing brief?
The little short, short,
not,
shorts.
Not the sort of the Y front.
No.
Not the dad jock.
No. I've got no idea where that started, but I've been doing it for about a year and a half now. And as
keep
I said,
doing it, mate.
Expensive habit. But it's just one that I developed out of nowhere.
I had a silly one when I played. I could only put my left boot on before I ran out, right? And now that superstition is carried over to everyday life. It's ridiculous. I'm just getting this habit.
Thongs.
Every time I get it, I can't not put my right... If I've got my right thong and I can't find my left one, I'll just keep searching for the left one before I can put it on. It's a little bit ridiculous,
now,
but...
What would happen if someone just said to you, just put the right boot on? Just do it, mate.
I'd have a meltdown.
that's honestly the reason why you don't really want to have superstitions, because things can... It can be taken out of your control than, you know, a silly athlete's head. Everything, you know, as you said, you have a meltdown and there's no reason for it. It has no bearing on your performance. But
I never wore jocks when I played football. I always wore the skins. I just preferred just the skins.
Oh, right.
That's probably the issue, Rosso. It's probably why you didn't make the next grade, really, is it?
And I wore the black ones, right? And you had to wear flesh. And one game, the umpire said, "You're wearing black ones, take them off." And I said to the umpire, "Mate, I've got nothing else underneath." He goes, "Bad luck." So I had to free ball. And I'll tell you what, I just took myself straight to the bench because the last thing you want is an agate full of free.
That's the last thing you want.
Although people didn't stand anywhere near me, so I had a lot of space.
White shorts?
White shorts, yeah.
Ooh.
You're the Kenilworth Kookaburras, mate. St. Mary's Oval.
Kenilworth Kookaburras.
Well, let's finish up on something I've been looking forward to since we had a little mild meeting about this. This is JJ's top four. I think we've got an opener for it.
JJ's top four.
There it is. That's the opener that
it needs work,
one of our producers, John Bleeby, made. He told me that was his full hour of dedication.
I spent a lot of work on the opener for the whole podcast.
Well, we'll build on that.
There's a lot of rounds to go.
Well, it may only reflect the segment.
No, mate. It's for those who don't know the segment, and you wouldn't because it's the first time ever, JJ's going to be doing top four things. Now, this week, because it's round one.
Why do you reckon it's four and not five?
JJ's top four, obviously, because that's his number. Amos got all the facts right here. JJ, you're doing a top four for us. This week it's round one moments or even wins.
Games, yes, wins. Mm. I am. And we've, in different form in round one, 12 wins, 14 losses. So we've got to get a win today and get closer to squaring that ledger. Highest crowd, 45,607, which is 2015. Phil Walsh's first game as coach. A sensational result for the club. Unsurprisingly, Scotty Thompson holds the record in round one games for the most disposals at 39. Shame he couldn't get one more for the 4-0, but 39 is pretty impressive. And Anthony Modra, not James Posiadley or Josh Jenkins, has the most goals in round one for the
club. I'm expecting that to change,
club.
JJ.
So am I.
2017, Josh Jenkins, GWS, most goals, 8.
7. Fair old task for me to top that one, but not a surprise that Tony Modra would be in there somewhere.
You kicked 8 before, though, Jay.
Yeah, just the once. Mods did it about 30 times, I think. But number four, 2009, the year before Collingwood became the premiers, so they were a pretty good side. Adelaide went across to the MCG, defeated them by 3 points, 13-12-90 to 13-8-86. Ex-friend of ours, well, still a friend, ex-teammate, Bernie Vince had 33 disposals, and our current goal-kicking coach, Nathan Van Berlo, kicked 2 majors. So shout-out to VB there.
No, I'm just going to bring this up. I don't immediately think VB and goals. So
neither.
No, well, enough. You know, he played up the ground a little bit, but his set shot routine when he actually had a kick for goal was so sound. So that sound that Pikey decided to make him our goal kicking coach.
So he doesn't have the numbers, but he's got the working out to speak maths.
He's got the percentages. He's got the percentages behind him, the accuracy.
To be fair, everyone's had a go at being a goal kicking coach. It's a revolving door of goal kicking coaches at the club. Anyway,
is that just the we like you position? Or
back on topic. Number three, 2011, the Hawks were in town. Buddy Franklin kicked 2 goals, 6, which may have had a factor in the result. But Adelaide, 16-9-105, defeated Hawthorn 12-13-85. After being down 3 goals at halftime, Brody Smith's first game for the club. Excellent first-round draft choice by the club. He's played over 100 very good games since. Big Tex kicked 4. Danger, he who shall not be named too often on this podcast, kicked 3. And likely my direct opponent today, Phil Davis, had 25 disposals for the club. So if he does that today, Pods, I'm in trouble.
You are, but I don't think that'll happen.
Thanks for the vote of confidence. 2015 game I've already mentioned. Adelaide 21-14-140 defeated North Melbourne 9-9-63, crushed them on that day. Richie Douglas, the man who lives over my back fence, had 31 disposals. And Tex Walker, again, went berserk. He had 22 disposals, took 15 grabs and kicked 6 goals, 5. Should have probably kicked 10 that day.
It's one of the best games I've seen from a key forward.
Incredible, incredible. Just the marks and disposals, incredible day.
Embarrassed his opponent.
He did.
Who was that opponent?
Do you want to name the...
We probably shouldn't name him, but he hasn't played a game since.
Kurt's brother, I think. Number one, 1991. Adelaide, 24-11-155, defeated Hawthorn 9-15-69. The inception of the Crows, the first ever game. Pretty good. A great night for those that were there. I was only 2-year-old, so I definitely wasn't there. But Bruce Linder, Peter McIntyre, and John Klug kicked 4 each, whilst a man we all know very well, Andrew Newton-Jarman, had 25 disposals. So that's my top four for this week, and I'll have to rack my brain to come up one for round two.
All right, well done, JJ. Well, boys, thanks very much for coming. This is the first one. Check out the Crows on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Head to afc.com.au for exclusive Crows news and insights. Thank you very much to Toyota, just in general. I mean, as long as I've been a Crows fan, you think Camry Crows, don't you?
Absolutely. And a big thank you to our fans for listening into this, and make sure you cheer loud at the game today.
And 68,000 of you are members. Well done. That's just outstanding stuff.
I think it's number one or number two in the league, so it's pretty impressive.
I'd know my stats if I'd done more research. Do you want to take us out, Pods?
I've asked
the Pod, because I know that the Pod is a well-being sort of guy, and you've got a certain mystique about you. Just as we walk,
that's just a shining